ngopfu ri mi fanele mi ya yimela hi sponile a swi fambe kahle.
Hey, a to vuya ma.
A to vuya ma.
Ah,
Yeah.
a ni se tolovele ku tirha makaya manjhe se ku ntlengantlenga na xin'wana xa ta tiko
Yeah.
a va swi hi fanele va khinga ti-program ta ko hi siku mi fanele mi famba va 7 visit ya wena a ku ri society
Yeah.
but we manage
No, hi swivonile hayi mi represente kahle mi tirhile hi swivonile hambileswi vhele disaster yi nga disaster yi nge vongi nchumu mara at least committee yi tirhile na yona
swinene
ya ensile
inkomu
Chairperson.
Yes, Brakin.
Chairperson of the culture panel, the select committee has joined.
Okay, we join in. So one Baba guy. My culture person, how are you?
Hi Tay, I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine.
Yay.
You will give the purpose of the meeting, ne? The longest.
Okay, sir.
Chair, I think in we can start in 2 minutes because I've seen that the DG of National Treasury is in the platform.
Okay.
Members are in the platform. And well, just waiting for a few of them.
Okay.
And the co-chairs in the platform. I think maybe others would find us while we continue.
Is Baba Nkosi in?
And the their committee is still sitting.
Okay.
was only having the secretary of that committee.
And
so, I thought I was stated in the apologies.
Mm.
And maybe they'll join later.
Okay.
Whoever is ready, please put your laptop on mute.
Chair.
Yes, King.
I think we can start.
Okay, is the DM and the minister in?
No, they've extended the apologies, Chair.
Okay. Okay, thank you. Good evening, honorable members, as well as our officials and our visitors.
Recording in progress.
We have got the agenda before us. The first item, which is opening, welcome and purpose of the meeting. Then the second item is roll call. And then the third one, as it appears, is apology. And then the next item will be briefing by South African Special Risk Insurance Association. And then from there, we'll have some deliberations. So before we go and address the agenda, I will make a slightly change where I will just open the meeting. I've got with me my co-chairperson. I will request him to give the purpose of this meeting briefly, because we've got reasons why are we having this meeting based on our previous trip here oversight, KZN and Gauteng. So the meeting is officially open. Braking, why did you close my camera? You said I must switch on my camera, but I can't see myself. Just check it, because it might
happen.
We can see you.
Can see me.
Yes.
Oh, thank you. With my glass. With my reading glass.
Yes.
Thank you so much. The meeting is officially open. What I can say is to appreciate the urgent call and the urgent response by all parties. Honorable members, I'm proud of you. You are really hard at work because you don't complain. That shows commitment. I really appreciate that. You are warmly welcome. I will now request my co-chair just briefly to give the background, which gonna be the purpose of this today's meeting. Why are we here and why do we want briefing from
South
Africa? Yes.
My apology to get inside there. Chairperson is having the, Mr. Khai is having the network program, just called me, is trying to connect. He's getting in and out, and I was suggesting that while we are waiting for him to get inside the platform, we can maybe do the roll call and the
okay, do so, please. Take us to the second item, which is the roll call and apologies. Tell us who's in and who's okay. Not.
Chairperson, thank you. I've seen the Honorable Jacobs, Honorable Mr. Mieni, Honorable Ms. Lubengo from the Honorable Mr. Kruger, Honorable Mr. De Villiers, and then Mr. Zungula has extended an apology to say he will join a bit late, he's still driving. And then Honorable Hendricks is also inside. Those are the ones that I've seen. What I may request, Chair, through your permission, is that members from
Chairperson.
The Select Committee.
Yes.
Sorry, Braking did not acknowledge me. I am in the meeting, Chairperson.
Okay. Can you acknowledge Honorable April, please?
Thank you, Chairperson. As she has indicated, Mr. April is in the platform. Just that maybe he has entered with a different name. That is why I didn't see him. Then maybe I can request that members from the Select Committee, because Ms. Boshoff is in the platform, and Mr. Moimang is in the platform. If I'm missing some of the members, truly my apology, and I request that they can indicate.
Yes,
Danger. Honorable Danger.
Yes, I'm also in.
Thank you. Yes.
I did greet you.
Yes.
And Honorable Baba Alwa.
Okay.
Join
how
the,
are you the... Do we have apologies?
Okay. The apologies that I can, that came to my attention, Chair, it's one from the Portfolio Committee on Trade and Industry, that they might join later because they were sitting the whole day. They are conducting public hearings virtually. So, but the secretary to the committee, he has joined because the committee has got two secretaries. Secondly, we also have the apologies, two apologies from our newly ministries. The minister send an apology to say by the time they received this invitation for the meeting, or they had already had the prior arrangement with the orientation meetings. It is both goes to the minister and to the deputy minister. They apologize that they had already planned for the orientation meetings. So those are the apologies that I have received, Chair.
Thank you, Braking. progress. Yagababa, hi, is he in?
Not yet.
Yes, I'm in, Chair.
Okay.
Okay. The platform is yours, Papa. Can you give the background in the form of a purpose of today's meeting about our visit and why did we call our brothers from a South African Special Risk Insurance Association as well as the Treasurer?
Thank you very much. I'm just showing my face. I'm going to switch off my video. My connection is unstable. Let me greet members of the Portfolio Committee on Small Business Development, members of the Select Committee that is responsible for small business, but also for other departments such as trade, industry and competition, tourism, employment and labor. We also have, as I was listening to the introduction, I think we have also a member, Tim Gose Aplin, I can see, who is also part of the committee, select committee, and also the staff members of the committee from the NCOP. I'd like to also acknowledge the DG of Treasury, but also the leadership also of South Korea and the media. As you indicated that as the three committees, we undertook an oversight visit to KZN and also Gauteng to assess for ourselves the extent to which businesses, in particular small businesses, have been affected by the unrest, the destruction of property, and the looting that took place in KZN and also in Gauteng. But also before we embark on this oversight visit, in one of the family meetings, the president indicated the kind of intervention measures that were going to take place in response to what happened in KZN as well as in Gauteng, but also generally how COVID-19 has affected the economy. Certain measures that were announced by the president with regard to tax issues, with regard to intervention to small businesses, development, the COVID tests, but also with regard to the infrastructure that has been damaged, as to how South Korea was going to come in and assist. But also the Minister of Finance further elaborated, gave details and on these interventions, particularly with regard to South Korea, that South Korea was busy actually processing the applications of the affected businesses. But also there was an indication that Treasury would come in case South Korea does not exhaust its solvency limit. So the reason therefore we have invited South Korea in particular to receive a briefing on the programs available for small and medium enterprises which were affected by action of vandalism, looting and burning of businesses, infrastructure, and goods. So basically, we therefore are here to get that particular briefing, but also on the mandate of South Korea and its functions. I would be short as that, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Cindy?
You are muted, Chair.
You also send it to Demo.
Chair, you are muted.
Okay, thank you, Chairperson. Thanks for the the purpose. Again, Chairperson, maybe to add the reason why this urgent meeting is because we are bound to give the report urgently, so, and there is going to be a debate in the National Assembly as well as in the NCOP about the findings down there, so that the whole country can see and understand the position of Parliament. So before we could submit our report, we felt it's very important to have SASRI so that we will include what you have just indicated, my Chairperson, about their mandate and their function as the insurance. Maybe that's what I can just add on what you have said, but that's the purpose of this tonight's meeting. I will now call upon the leader of delegation from SASRI so that we don't take this meeting to brief us on what you have indicated, the issues of intervention and their budget, et cetera, et cetera. Then the DG from Treasurer is here. If he feels he will add or he will respond, it will depend on the atmosphere of the meeting. Over to you, SASRI.
Good evening, Chairperson.
I don't know who's leading, but you know yourself, the leader of the delegation. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So,
Chairperson, for procedure, we can then can give the DG, because SASRA is the agent of the National Treasurer. Then he's the one who can, the CEO can proceed with his presentation.
DG, are you available? What I know, King, I don't know. Let it come from the DG himself, because if they are reporting to him, is that they are his agent. What we used to do with FIFA and CEDA as well as the department should prevail here. But let me hear from him, because I don't want to hijack him. I wanted him to be there, but it's upon him if he wants to give the briefing, and then the agent will add. I don't have any problem. DG, no, are you comfortable?
Thank you very much. Good evening, honorable members. Good evening, colleagues. No, Cedric will continue, Chair, and we will come in as and when we need it at the end. But thank you very much, because as the Secretariat indicated, normally the minister or the department will come first. But I think for now, it's more Cedric Masondo from SASRI coming in, and I will come in later.
What you need to do is to be ready to tell us about the pension fund after this. We want our percentage there. Okay, over to you.
Thank you, Chair, and good evening, Chair, and good evening to the committee members. Chair, I wanted to share my presentation, but the system doesn't allow me to share the presentation. But I can go through the presentation. It has been sent to the to the committee members, and I will go through the presentation.
I don't know if a King can make you a co-host. Maybe then that you can be able to share. It will be good for members to see the slides, so that when we deliberate, they know exactly what they're talking about.
Chair, I've made him, because I didn't know who was going to make a presentation.
Okay.
So I made him, yes. You can now be able to share, Mr. CEO.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. CEO?
Yes, Chair. Can you see my slide?
No. We are seeing your emails. I think you should have I'll disarm you as a co-host and then open your document presentation. Then thereafter again you can share, because right now we are sharing your emails, yes.
Thank you.
Just now I've disarmed you. You can open your document and put it down there. Just open it and minimize it. Then thereafter, I'll make you a call. Then you'll be able to share it.
Yeah. Can you see it now, Chair?
No. It's because I have not made you a call. Are you fine now? Can I?
Yes.
Okay, there you are.
Thank you. So good evening, members, and good evening, Chair. So my name is Cedric Masondo, so I'm the CEO of SASRIA. So, and thank you for the opportunity. So I thought,
Chair, before you start, share your screen. We are seeing, we are not seeing the screen, the presentation.
But can you see my screen now? Sorry.
No, we are seeing you. We are not seeing the your screen.
Okay, sorry.
Do you see where we have put that?
Yes.
Yeah. There you are. Then you can open that presentation.
Yeah, it's open now. Is it open now?
No, it's not open. We just see all your documents on the email, but we have not yet opened the presentation. We can also see it, but we can't. It's not open.
Okay.
Through you, Chair, the other option is to email it to King. Oh, there it is.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Can I start now? Members can see the presentation.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. So I'm going to talk about just briefly about the history, mandate, our business model, and just the impact of July riots. And then hopefully if there is time, I'll just talk about the rebuilding plan of SASRIA as an institution. So our history dates back to 1976, members. And in after 1976, Soweto uprising, the insurance company and the reinsurance companies refused to ride political riots. And that's how we were formed as a company. So there was a gap that insurance companies were no longer providing cover for damages followed the riot, and whether it was political or non-political. And in 1979, SASRIA was formed, and it was formed as a Section 21, and its purpose was basically to right those perils that were not covered by the normal insurance companies. At a later stage, the mandate of SASRIA was enhanced, and it was extended to include terrorism, and even at a later stage, it was extended to include what we call civil commotion. So these are acts of riots which are not linked to political, but it's just for any reason, and people might be and in that process, property get destroyed and looted. So we are an insurance company. Our cover is based on a non-refusable and non-cancelable basis, and we try to always provide an affordable insurance. And just for noting is that even during the riots, in the middle of the riots, we're still writing business, and we're accepting business for those people who didn't have insurance, who didn't have SASGA. And in 1989, SASGA was converted. It became a public company, wholly owned by government. We are now a Section 3B company that reports to National Treasurer and wholly owned by government. And when the company was formed, there was always a government guarantee. And that was mainly because at that time, it was difficult for SASGA to access reinsurance market. So, but at a later stage, when the country became stable and we're able to buy reinsurance in an open market, and the government guarantee was no longer required. So just for members to note, also in 1989, when SASGA was converted, so there was a special dividend that was paid to government, and mainly because SASGA wasn't paying tax, and special dividend of around 11 billion. That was paid over to government. That money was used, in my understanding, to pay the debt that the country had. So, and that's the main areas of SASGA. But what do we do? As I've said, we are an insurance company, and if you look at our product, it's extremely affordable. And I'm sure most of us here are clients of SASGA. So we charge extremely low premium, and mainly because we work on a pooling system. We are the only insurance company that provide this cover. So it allows us to charge and rate our rates so little so that we can encourage more people to buy SASGA. But of course, for corporate business, the insurance is a little bit more expensive, and it depends on the values. And but for small companies and small companies, SP commercial companies, and individual, the premium is extremely low. We are a state-owned company, and for years, and since this company was formed, we've always been a self-sustainable business, and through our premium, and we're able to pay our claims and our expenses. So we've never been in a situation where we had to require some help financially, even though there was a state guarantee, but that guarantee was never recalled, and so on. So that's been our position since 1979. And so what do we cover? So these are the products that we cover. We cover terrorism, political riots, strikes, and riots. So terrorism, it's in our view, that's something that we've always model our business in terms of capital, and mainly because the damage that can be caused by a bomb, it's massive, and so we will always model and look at the areas that might be of interest to people that want to cause damage to the country. And of course, in the recent years, I mean, when SASGA was formed, most of our claims were as a result of political riots. So almost all claims were getting claims because of political infighting. But after 1984, we saw a decline in claims arising out of political riots. And we started seeing in the 90s, we really did not experience major increase in claims. And it was very stable. So, and during that period, and which I think it helped us, we're able to build our reserves, and we're able to build a decent capital that we can withstand events such as the events that happened last month. Of course, during the World Cup, and the situation started to change, and we started seeing a lot of claims, but mainly driven by labor disturbance, labor issues in the late 2010. We started seeing a lot of claims because the employees and the employee and the employers in most cases they couldn't agree on the wages, and the employees would take up to the street, and that mainly the damage. But the last 3 years, we see different types of claims. We started seeing claims arising out of civil commotion. So what we call civil service delivery protests. We saw an increase in service delivery protests. And of course, in the last 2 or 3 years, we started seeing damages caused to the truck, and the truck claims all of a sudden became a major issue for us. So that's what we do. And of course, we also understand that our mandate, it's not just the mandate that's written on the SASIA Act, but we also, as a state-owned company and also as a responsible citizen, we've got a responsibility to make sure that we contribute to the government agenda. And that's what we've tried to do all these years, Chair. So our business model, it's quite simple, and that's why we are able to have very lean with reduced cost. So we work on a lean structure. So our staff, the total number of people working for SASIA, we're about 120 people. Of course, that number is going to increase just temporarily as we're dealing with claims. But our model, it works together with insurance companies. So the client will go to an insurance company or a broker, and the broker will advise that if you take the motor, you must add SASIA. So SASIA is not compulsory, and it's also not automatic. So you'll have to add SASIA in your product. And there will be one policy that gets issued, whether it's a motor or fire policy. And you'll see that police, if you have SASIA, it will have a SASIA component on it. So that helped us a lot because we don't have to issue a policy again. So we don't have to spend money on administration because insurance companies do a lot of work for us. So the insurance companies collect premium, they issue policy, they advise, and if the client doesn't have a broker, and they will forward us the bottle, which contains also the premium. When the claim comes, they will do the first assessment, and then they send the claim back to us if it's our claim. So because of that, we don't have to have offices all over the country, and we're dependent on them. So that's a model that has worked, but that's a model that also has some shortcomings, because our selling strategy depends on the selling strategy of the insurance companies. So if the insurance companies are not aggressive in a particular sector, and we'll find that we're not aggressive. So, and one of the things that we've realized is that we need to go direct to insurance companies, to clients, and not just use the insurance companies. But that's a project that we're doing currently busy with. So like I've said, we don't compete with insurance company, we supplement them. We're writing the business that they don't want to write. There's no insurance company that wants to write this business, mainly because it's volatile and it's very difficult to model, and it requires a pool model concept. So we work on a tariff basis. We don't underwrite each risk. We underwrite a portfolio. So we'll have one rate for all clients, and whether it's fire, commercial clients will have the same rate. SME clients will have the same rate, and individual will have the same rate. And it's very rare cases where we'll underwrite the business, mainly because the client might be a multi-claimant. But in most cases, almost 98%, we work on a tariff basis. And that also helps us that because we don't need to have a big underwriting department and to do. Of course, we have an actuarial department that do the pricing. And then once we agree on the pricing, that the pricing applies to everyone. So our products, it's material damage, money, goods in transit, business interruption, and construction and motor. So material damage will also include stock, anything that's in the building. that's covered by us, and if money was in the building that's covered by us, we also do goods in transit. So goods in transit is the one that I've highlighted, that in the last 3 years, we've seen an increase in damages to trucks. And I'm sure members remember the incident in Moy River where about 15 trucks were banned. And that alone was about 85 million on us, because we have to pay for trucks and also goods and pay for goods in transit. Business interruption, we have a simple business interruption. It's aimed to pay the fixed cost for the business while the business is going through reconstruction as a result of such apparel. And then construction, it's a normal construction that we, construction all risk. If there's a project, a building being built, then we pay for that risk. And then of course, motor damage while the individual is driving and find himself or herself in the mix of riots and stuff like that. So we basically cover all sectors. So we don't have sectors that we don't cover. And like I've said, we don't cancel. Our business is not, we can't cancel, we can't refuse it. Anyone who wants to buy Saja can just buy Saja. You go to an insurance company and then they will issue what we call a Saja coupon. And it's simple as that. So and same rate and that client, the insurance company, that will do the administration on behalf of surgeon. Our clients, corporate contributes about 80% of our corporate and commercial contributes about 80%. SME, also our clients, I mean, SME business is extremely small, and mainly because the premium is also low. But we find that the SMEs, there's not been a big take up by the SMEs of our product. And mainly because the SME, mainly people who are in that business, they don't buy insurance at all. And if you don't buy insurance at all, sometimes it's difficult to know that you need to buy Saja. Municipalities are also our clients, state-owned companies, and of course, private individuals. Tertiary institutions, and I'm sure members remember the fees must fall. We were the people that paid those claims, and it ran into hundreds of millions, the claim that we paid for buildings damaged at universities. So, Chad, and this is briefly about Saja, and I thought maybe, and I must just share with the members the impact of July riots and just the rebuilding plan. And it's not too many slides, but it's just briefly. I just wanted to give the members the indication on Saja, how much we think we're gonna pay at the end, and the question has been asked whether do we have enough capital to deal with those claims and so on. So and I guess members knows what happened, and I'm not gonna repeat that, but I think it's quite important for us just to emphasize and that at this stage, we have received claims up to 12 billion. As of today, claims that we've recorded in our financials, in our system, is 12 billion. We anticipate that this number, we forecast that number, will be anything between 15 and 20 billion. Bear in mind that clients have also 30 days to report the claims. And if you don't report the claims within 30 days, of course, there must be a good reason why the client did not report the claims. Of course, if the client, there was something that client could not access the property, or the client was sick, so that's understandable. But the normal policy condition is that within 30 days, you must report the claim. So we are approaching 30 days by some of the events, losses. We are looking at anything that started on the 9th until the 19th. So the 19th will be sort of a cutoff date on the claims that needs to be reported to us. So claims that don't get reported to us, they are reported to insurance companies. So the cutoff date will not be to us, will be at the insurance companies. And so that's what we believe we're gonna be paying. So we think it will be anything between 15 and 20 billion. I've often been asked about that, people are talking about 50 billion and some even 100 billion. And of course, I can't dispute whether the total property cost will be 50 billion. I mean, I can't dispute that. But what I can look at it based on our analysis, we believe that our claims will be between 15 and 20 billion. Of course, it might be slightly more than 20 billion, but this is where we are focusing. So, and that's also supported by the fact that as of today, we are sitting at 12 point. So we have reinsurance structure, but we also have balance sheet on our side. So, and the question has been asked: why did we plan properly, and do we have enough resources to pay all these claims? And our view is that as an insurance company, as the only insurance company, it is our legal obligation to pay all valid claims, and that's our view. And we quite happy that the president and the minister and National Treasury have supported us in that view, that all valid claims for clients that have been paying premium for years, and when they are now finding themselves with properties being damaged and looted, we need to pay those claims. So we will be honoring those claims. And we also have a reinsurance program. We have formally informed the reinsurers that we'll be calling upon them to contribute. And we're quite comfortable that we'll also recover money from reinsurance. But the sad reality is that after we've paid all these claims, whether it's 15 or 12 billion, that would have wiped out years of work and accumulation of reserves. And that would have also, the whole reinsurance program would have been triggered, and all the layers will respond. And to the extent that we have reinstated the reinsurance cover, because we're sure that the reinsurers will pay the full reinsurance limit. So then we have decided that we need to reinstate the reinsurance cover so that if there's something similar, we'll have reinsurance structure. But we've also changed the reinsurance program a little bit to a more program that will help us in terms of our SCR. As we speak now, we don't have a liquidity problem, and we're still within the SCR limit. But as if the numbers continue to grow, we will start having not a liquidity problem as such, but we'll start dropping in terms of our SCR. So if we end up on 15 billion, we'll have enough money to pay all our claims, but we'll need to recapitalize the company. But we quite welcome the 3.9 billion from National Treasury, because that will also help. And it will also mean that we don't need to ask for more money from National Treasury if we end up on 15 billion, because we can also supplement that with the reinsurance program. So that's, and I'm going to show the members the macro. I'm sure all of people have seen it. This is the claims numbers as of today. And these are the claims that we've received and has been registered in our system. So if you just look at the red where it says incurred claim, you can see all the years the numbers have not been like this. But the 2021, and we just experienced something that we've never thought we'll experience as a company. And you, just got the other one where it says the number of claims, you just look at July. So July and August, it just demonstrates the number of claims that we've received from the insurance company, from the client. So, Chair, and I think that's what I want to share with the members, that we are committed to pay those claims. We are working with insurance companies and to fast track the payment of claims. All claims below 1 million, we've given the insurance companies float that they can finalize those claims. They don't need to come to us and ask for approval. So they've started paying those claims already. So small claims below 1 million, they've started paying those claims. And that will really fast the payment project, and will not need, they don't need to come to us. And we're grateful for that, because we anticipate that about 60% will be smaller claims that can be settled quickly. And claims above up to 50 million, we are now working on those ones to pay interim payments. The bigger claims by its nature take long. Where the mall was damaged completely, to rebuild the mall will probably take 18 months. And the sad thing is that the small businesses that were in the mall, they can't do anything until the mall is finished. So those claims take longer because there's processes, and just rebuilding project it takes time. And lastly, on my side, we are confident that this company will rise again and continue to provide this cover, which is only available through SASSA. And we want also to, we've learned that small businesses mainly did not have SASSA. And part of our project going forward is to make sure that we make it easy for them to deal direct with us, not with insurance company. But of course, that takes long. It also requires more innovation. Thank you, Chair. I think unless there are any, so it's up to you, Chair, whether you want members to ask me questions, but that's the end of my presentation.
Thank you. Thank you, Masondo. Members would like to ask questions because we want to have a sense of what will be happening during this difficult period. Those interventions need to be registered so that when we go and debate there, we understand exactly what is it that we are telling the nation. But thank you so much for the detailed presentation. I didn't want to stop you because really we wanted this information as members of the portfolio committee and the select committee and the other committee of DTI. So I will invite members. Maybe DG, do you want to add, or you will wait for the members to ask questions? I'm happy because I wanted to know the period as well as the money at hand. It has been mentioned, the 80% versus the 20%, I believe. That's where members will be interested in engaging with your good selves, and that small businesses do not have this insurance, and what is it that is going to happen. I believe these are some of the things, but we appreciate that you are going to try to speed up the process. And to me, it's not a question. It will be a clarity seeking. It will be a clarity on the number of days between the damage and the period to make some requests from SARS. So let me allow honorable members first to ask, and then I will add. Honorable members, here we are. Can you show by raise of hand if ever you need to seek more clarity? King, you'll assist me by identifying honorable members. Yes.
Yes, Chairperson. The first person was Mr. Hendricks. Second one was Mr. Moimang. The third one was Ms. Boshoff. The fourth one was Mr.
The Ibidias. Second one?
Second one is... One. First is Mr. Hendricks.
Yes.
Second one is Moimang, Ken Moimang.
Yes.
Third one,
okay, honorable,
is Ms. Boshoff.
Mm.
The fourth one is Mr. De Villiers.
Okay.
The fifth one is Mr. Jacobs.
Okay.
These are the one that has I've recognized. I can just request Mr. Cedric, can you lower your presentation Sure. Thank you. And then the...
Thank you.
After Mr. Jacobs, it's Miss Baba Alwa. Matomo. And then it's Mr. Mtenjane. So it's Hanif, it's Mr. Hendricks, Honorable Hendricks, Honorable Memang, Honorable Boshoff, Honorable De Villiers, Honorable Jacobs, Honorable Matulelwa, and Honorable Mtenjane.
Okay. In that order, Mr. Honorable Hendricks, can you start with your question?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Honorable Chair, I first want to compliment Sasria because it looks like they are doing something good, because while we were on the visit, Honorable Chair, we heard that at one shopping mall, they applied for the insurance. It was approved. And also that they managed to settle with the assessor, and that before in 4 or 5 weeks' time, the white shells will be ready and people can move in so that they can start trading in November and, you know, for the Christmas period. So it looks like there has been some fast-tracking, and I heard an amount of 1 million rand where they've removed all the red tape. And maybe that the 1 million rand must be extended if we have to fast-track compensating those small businesses who suffered. Honorable Chair, I just want to say that, you know, there are many small businesses in shopping malls. So it is not correct to say that small business doesn't have Sasria cover. Many small businesses in the shopping malls qualify in terms of the threshold. And so we are very happy that some small businesses are covered, and I'm sure that we are going to call for more and more small businesses to be covered. However, I want to raise a concern, a very, very big concern, that the unrest took place in a certain part of KZN and in a certain part of Gauteng. Just imagine, Honorable Chair, if it was widespread and the whole country and the whole of KZN, then this insurance cover would not have been inadequate. So it is not luck. I don't want to use the word lucky. It's lucky, but let's use the word lucky. It's lucky for the Sasria that the unrest affected maybe 1% of our businesses throughout the country. So that means if there's widespread, then they are hopelessly inadequate. So there's something wrong. Number one is they're not adequately covered. The reinsurance is not adequate. And lastly, Honorable Chair, we know that their premium is very, very low. You know, you normally pay for insurance, if you pay 1,000 rand, the Sasria is only 1% and you only pay maybe 10 rand or 100 rand. You know, I don't have my calculator here. But they have to relook at the premiums that they charge so that it can cover the whole country. You know, we are not safe yet. We are not safe yet. Just like COVID pandemic, we now have this pandemic, another pandemic that's hitting our economy, that's hitting small businesses. So Sasria must up their game. I don't think they were lucky that they escaped from massive claims. But if there were massive claims in all 9 provinces, then I think that with all due respect, the presenter here would have had to hang his head in shame. And we are not adequately covered. We're not in safe hands. The country is not safe. There is not adequate cover. And this must be a wake-up call. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
Is it my turn, Chair? We are muted, Chair. It's okay. The chair is
muted. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm talking alone. I'm talking to myself. It's your turn, sir, Honorable.
Thank you, Chair. Let me also welcome the presentation from Mr. Masondo, representing South Korea. Just three areas from my side, Chair. The first one relates to a point, a concern. I see that in terms of your presentation, no one get a sense that not too much emphasis is put on small business, and this also is captured in your reflection on your key performance indicators under your strategic objectives. One of them that you did not need is the failure to launch the proposed SME product in time to derive premium income from an alternative distribution. I want to believe that given your audience today, that will definitely be our concern, particularly given the devastating nature of the looting of the anchor clients on informal traders. And most of them do not have insurance, and it does explain their situation, because one of your indicators, key performance indicator, which was the launch of the SME product, was not launched. So I will be more wanting to hear from the Treasury. Whether is there no extraordinary measures that could be taken into account or be implemented to sort of expedite the intervention that you have set aside that has also been announced by the DTIC and also SMISPA. And small business. The concern is that in Northern KwaZulu-Natal, one of the concerns that was raised to us by the SIFA and SIDA was a threshold. The concern was that we might be raising more expectation, and their threshold is 2 million rand. So it will be important to just get a sense as to whether is there room to maneuver. Of course, appreciating the fiscal constraints within which we are. The second one, Chair, that is directed to South Korea will be the 30 days period within which claims must be processed. Given the magnitude of the event of July, didn't you consider extraordinary response and approach that will definitely sort of restore our supply chain, because the July event had a major disruption on our supply chain? And as a result thereof, was major anchor clients like ShopRite and Pick and Pay in malls closed. It means the smaller guys that necessarily will not be insured are on their receiving end. So therefore, it is a clarion call to all of us to act extraordinarily, given the devastating nature and the magnitude of the looting on the supply chain. The The last point that I want to raise is what is it that you will do to probably implement the lessons that we learned, because I want to believe that was the lockdown last year, level 5, like the UIF embark on extraordinary measures to cushion those that were on the receiving end of the closure of businesses. So this will also invite the extraordinary response, but of course we need to put in place safety mechanism to ensure that there is no unfortunate situation of one of double dipping and then two of corruption. Thank you, Chair. You are muted again, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Moima. The next speaker in my list is Honorable, is Ms. Boshoff. Honorable Boshoff, over to you.
Thank you very much, Chair, and pardon me for not switching on the video. My internet connection is relatively unstable. Honorable Moy Mung has asked some of the questions that I also wanted to ask, but I just want to add onto the 30-day process. If one takes into account that these people that were subjected to the looting and the riots are in a dire situation, is there no way that an extension could be given after 30 days? Because we know many of these businesses have lost absolutely everything. They don't even have paperwork. And the majority of insurance companies, I don't know if Sasria works that way as well, need proof. Now they cannot prove anything. So they have to go and sit down and work out what amount they can claim. So if we can just be given some information on that. And then I'd just like to throw a stone in the bush. If Sasria is as affordable as Mr. Masondo said, why is it that so many small and medium and micro enterprises are not registered for Sasria? Is there a plan on the table to have discussions with the smaller businesses as well as our informal traders? Because they've also been hit very hard, to see how we can reach out and assist them for future probabilities. We do not know. Nobody knows what the future holds. But I think it would be wise if everybody could contribute somehow or the other to the Sasria kitty. Then I'm very happy to hear that your liquidity is so secure. But Mr. Masondo, what will you do to ensure there is enough liquidity after all the payouts with the recent riots? Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Boso. The next speaker is Honorable De Villiers. Over to you, Honorable. Honorable De Villiers, are you still in our meeting? King, is he still in our meeting? Or has been kicked off?
I see he's still in.
Chairperson?
Yes. My microphone wasn't working. But thank you very much, and thank you for the presentation by Sasria. I'll keep it short. I've got two big questions. The first one is whether Sasria, or just a confirmation that Sasria will only cover the expenses for damages incurred. So, you know, the replacement of of physical assets and infrastructure loss, but they will not cover a business loss of income. So if it takes 18 months for a shopping center to be built, and a small business inside that shopping center can only open in 18 months, there's no, Sasria does not cover the income that the business will lose over the next 18 months. So just a confirmation that that is the case, so that we can understand that part of the problem for small business. And then my major concern is not around liquidity, and I think if you speak to anyone in the industry, everyone says Sasria does have the necessary liquidity, and it was shown to us now in this presentation as well. My big concern is around the speed of which with which they can assess all of these multiple claims and pay out the businesses who obviously need to urgently get back up, maybe relocate their businesses to new premises. But these entrepreneurs and small business owners are you know, they've been dealt a very hard blow with COVID. Now they've been dealt a blow with looting and rioting. They need, if they've got any chance of survival, they need to get back on their feet with speed. So what is Sasria doing? And more importantly, is Sasria bringing in new assessors and getting the appropriate help so that they can assess these claims with the necessary speed to get people paid out? Those are my questions. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable. And the next speaker is Honorable Jacobs.
Over to you, Honorable
Jacobs.
Recording in progress.
Masondo and the DG.
Thank you, Chair. I'm not sure whether DG wants to speak first, but DG, whether
he's your boss, he will speak later.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, you can carry on, Cedric. Carry on.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. So let me just, thank you very much to the members, and I just want to categorize the question into four areas, dealing with the operational and liquidity and the solvency and the small business and so on. So the issue of 30 days, and just clarity, 30 days is not a finalization of a claim, but 30 days is the reporting of a claim. So we are saying to our clients, please make sure you report. You don't have to have anything. You don't have to, you don't even have to know how much damage was. Just report a claim to us, because that allows us to appoint the loss adjuster immediately. And that will also help, because once we've appointed the loss adjuster, it also helps to start looking and helping and so on. So the 30 days, it's not the finalization of the claim, it's the reporting of the claim, but also not reporting to us, reporting to the agent company. Because if we don't report the claims, then we delay in appointing the loss adjuster and so on. So that's it. And then the issue of documents missing, and I think that is common. And in the case like this, it is normal that when the building was burned, and especially for the SMEs, most of their documents will be on paper. It will not be on document. But that's a discussion the loss adjuster and us will have with the client. And on giving it. But you also need to make sure, Chair, that in cases like this, the cases of fraudulent and the inflation of claims become an issue. So we also need to protect our clients and our balance sheet so that we don't pay claims that shouldn't be paid. But it's a discussion and that we need to have it with the client. Then there was a question about the efficiency and dealing with the claim. And I think it's a very valid question that under normal circumstances we couldn't deal with some of the claims. And of course there's a lot of work that we've done. We've improved operationally. We have a new system. We've also increased the numbers. For this incident, we did a couple of things. We've increased the staff, so we have more people working up for us to deal with the claims. But we've also worked together with insurance companies, and I think the insurance companies, they came to the party. So they are dealing with all claims below 1 million. So they are paying those claims. Those claims don't need to come to us. We are over this week, early next week, we will review whether we can extend that, make it maybe 5 million or 10 million. But that depends on the rest. We also need to assess the rest because they're sitting with our money. We also need to be comfortable. But it's something that we're looking at, it whether we can ask the insurance to pay beyond 1 million. So already we've asked them to pay even interim payments. So they are no longer just paying 1 million as a full and fine. They're also paying interim payments. So and if I look at some of the insurance companies, they've indicated that in 3 weeks' time, they would have finalized all these claims within the small claims. So they have a bigger capacity, more, and they are used to deal with volume of claim. So they are in a better position to assess and pay claims quicker than us. And we're grateful for that. So, and of course, we'll assess the situation and if there's a need, we'll increase the capacities. And we've also removed a lot of back of so for example, on Monday after the incident, we came out and we said, these are our claims. So we wanted to make sure that the clients don't panic. And we said, we're not going to go for litigation and try and define the looting. Just for members, just to know, looting on its own, it's not a Sajra peril. But looting following riots, it's a Sajra peril. But we took a decision that we will not even go and seek legal clarity whether this looting was, and we said these are our claims. So we've removed that red tape of deciding the merits. So when the claim comes to us, and even claims come to the agent, our insurance companies, their role is just to look at whether there was cover, that thing was covered, and then paid it. So that's on the operational and just for members, and I must be honest with you, it's a lot of work. We're expecting 10,000 claims. And it's and it's not going to be easy. But our goal is to make sure that assessors are appointed, loss adjusters. There's a shortage of loss adjusters as we speak because it's also highly skilled. So we're going to have a bottleneck there where each loss adjuster has got so many words and is not producing the reports as quickly as possible. But it's something we're looking at. The second one, Chair, is the issue of SMEs. And I think it's a very valid question. We have a product for SMEs, and it's an extremely cheap product, and even if I use the word. And so if a client wants to cover only 500,000, the premium is 50 rand per annum. 1 million, it's 100 rand. 1.5, it's 150. 2 million, it's 200. The cover is there. It's extremely cheap. There is no, the people that don't buy Sasria, it's not because it's expensive, but it's because it's because of financial literacy and accessibility, and also that just people don't buy Sasria at all. So there's lack of information on Sasria. And the question is, what can we do? So a couple of things we want to do going forward on the lessons that we've learned. Of course, we're going for aggressive marketing, especially to target those SMEs working with different companies, sorry, different associations. And I think that's a lesson learned that we needed maybe to do more and so on. So because the product is there. Then the second thing is with developing a technology, which you hope we can launch it next year, where people can access products direct from us without going through an insurance and I hope that will solve a lot of problems, especially for the SMEs. But I think the most people, especially in the malls, will have Sasria, but also equally there will be a lot of SMEs that don't have Sasria, but there will also people that don't buy Sasria for whatever reason. They don't, I mean, most people never thought what happened will happen in the mall. They can't sell Sasria, but we understand that for SMEs, we can do more. Okay, the issue of solvency, which I want to talk about it, because it's an issue that we're looking at it, whether did we drop the ball and did we have enough capital to provide the stress. So let me just explain how we provide capital, because capital you provide it because based on the regulations of the Prudential Authority. So the Prudential Authority requires every insurance company that in your balance sheet, you must have capital that will cover for 1 in 200 events. So that's a fact. So if you don't have capital that will cover for 1 in 200 events, you will not get a license. And in fact, if during your trading, your SCR or your capital requirement drop below that level, the Prudential Authority might ask you to stop writing the business. But Sasria, not only did we have 1 in 200 event limit, we had 3 times the required limit. So the regulator says you must have about 2.5 billion. We had 9 billion in cash, I mean, in reserves, spread in different assets. And we never had assets that are not, we had assets in equity, bonds and whatever. All our assets are assets that we can liquidate and get money. We had 3 times more than what was required by the regulator. And even in times where we've made good profit, but we're quite fortunate that the shareholder never asked for more than the ordinary dividend. The dividend that we used to pay was on dividend. The dividend that might be regarded as excess, where in a normal insurance company, the shareholder will want you to trim your capital. The shareholder never asked for that. So we paid, more than just ordinary share, ordinary profit. So based on every requirement, we had 3 times more. But what is worrying, if we were to provide capital based on 1 in 5,000 events, And I'm afraid, Chair, because that means that the premium will not just triple. The premium will be 10 times, will increase tenfold. because we will need to raise the levels of reserves to a level of 20 billion. So our model always takes into account that there is a security, and our model takes into account that there will be an intervention by police. But we didn't have, we never had the model which says that people can come and loot 3 days in a row and nothing will happen. So we can't have an insurance that is geared for that, because the premium just become extremely expensive. So it's like if the life companies had to provide capital for all members, that all members will die, they won't be able to afford premium because it's just expensive. So I think it's a debate that needs to be discussed. I mean, because it will make SASRIA not sustainable. That's the last question. So just in terms of capital, and we had adequate capital, not just adequate capital, more than adequate capital. And we had all these scenarios of riots happening all over the world, all over the country. We had it in our requirements. So one of the requirements that the Prudential requires you to do on an annual basis is to assess your risk and report to them on an annual basis. What are you doing to make sure? So the last part, member asked whether do we provide SASRIA for natural disasters. So the answer is no, we don't provide SASRIA for natural disasters, maybe because our mandate doesn't allow that. But it's something that we have indicated, and I think Dondo can talk about that. It's something that National Treasury, as the shareholder, have wanted SASRIA to start looking at those things. And so that we can start looking at those disasters which are not covered by insurance. Just members, just lastly on my side, before this event, we had made decent profit and we wanted to kickstart the drought cover for emerging farmers. So the board had agreed that part of the capital will be moved to drive a drought cover. But with this, now we can't do that. But so that's something we want to do going forward. And I think a future SASRIA will also need to look at that. I think I've covered all the questions, unless I've missed something, and I apologize to members. Question about business interruption. So we do cover business interruption, and for small business, it's very limited. It's standing charges. It's basically your fixed cost. So we'll continue to pay your fixed cost sometimes per month, and that will be the money that you need to continue to pay. But of course, for corporate business, they buy a more complex, which also includes the loss of profit. But for small business, the business interruption is a very simple one, but complex business, and it's more complex. But of course, it depends whether the client did include that in the cover, because you have to pay for premium to get paid at the end of the when you. I think Chair, I've answered, and I apologize to members if I've missed something.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Cedric. DG, do you have something to add?
Yes. No, thank you very much, Chair, and thank you very much, honorable members, for your questions. I think maybe just to add to what Mr. Masonda said around, I think clearly this was a lesson learned with what happened with these riots, that we need to do a little bit more. And I think Honorable Hendricks is right, you know, that we have to just really maybe be more alert, make sure that we increase the package, and so that we are in safe hands in terms of what you are saying, that we are not in safe hands. I think if we have to look at all 9 provinces who would have been found wanting with the amount of reserves that we currently have, and clearly we can see, you know, for SASRIA to get support from us to the tune of 3.9 billion, it means they were going to have to exceed some of their own thresholds based on the size of their business. So I think the key here is to ensure as we relook into SASRIA and its operations, I think as a shareholder department, we need to look at the size of the business, and with the idea of increasing the size of the business, increasing the capacity of SASRIA to market its product, especially among SMMEs, in so far as the issues that we raised, in ensuring that we are able to cover many especially your small medium enterprise, which may not be. And I think Cedric is right. The literacy, financial literacy that I think we have to embark on. So surely there are lessons learned that we got from this, and then we have to really do more, and we'll be working closely with Sazria as we move ahead. The second point that I think is worth mentioning is around the need, and it has always been there. It was highlighted by the floods in Durban, Tegwini, about 2 or so, 3 years ago, and when clearly we needed to come in, and we could see that the amount that we had set aside in the reserves, contingency reserves, and disaster management center, the capacity was also not going to be there if such something like that has to hit. But since then, we have been working on addressing this whole area about insurance and what we need to do, whether insuring natural disasters, and this whole notion that government is a self-insurer. Because sometimes, as we can imagine, it doesn't make sense. Someone should actually be using someone else's money for some of these things, and we should be more creative. And I think the challenging issue that is before us currently is what the president has been calling us to do to become more entrepreneurial, in particular becoming more an entrepreneurial state in a developmental context that ensures that we are able to act when such some of these disasters hit. Or just simply, a simple thing is when I go to Cape Town and the car that I'm hiring is not insured. And all in this notion. So we have to change that environment clearly, and something more work we need to do there. So this is, in our radar screen. Two specific questions that were asked, or that comments were, Mimang raised the question and say, what about us? Are we not going to be able to expand the intervention? I think currently we're, as Treasury here, we were simply responding to a package of requests that came through from the relevant line ministries, and we didn't just want to put a number, and because it would have been difficult for us to support that number. But the numbers that we're working on are the numbers that were worked through by the departments themselves in ensuring that they're able to support. Whether they're enough,
I can't hear you, Dodo. Hello, are you still there?
Oh, sorry. Yes, no, thank you. I had muted myself. I'm very sorry, Chair. I was saying, maybe just to give you an idea in terms of what, for instance, the Department DGIC may have said as part of their request that they put on the table. They will look at four mainly areas of intervention with the money that we gave them, as an example. And this is also in supporting small and medium enterprises. They will look at supporting critical infrastructure refurbishment where need be, and they put aside around 600 million for that as part of the package. There'll be some industrial loan facility to support manufacturing companies affected by the looting, and this will be targeted to infrastructure, fittings in the premises, restocking, working capital, et cetera, and they've set aside 700 million for that. The retail another third component is the Retail Recovery Support Fund, where interest-free loans to companies that have been affected by the unrest towards rebuilding infrastructure, again, it's part of the package. Finally, there's also interest makeup scheme, where they'll provide interest subsidy to exporters, in particular in supporting companies affected by the riots. So when the invitation, Chair, for us to come here came through our secretariat, our parliamentary office, we're able to indicate that such a conversation based on what we saw, it would have made more sense for the Department of Small Business Development and also the Department of Trade, Industry and Competition to come in and also be part of this important conversation. But I can see they are not here. But essentially, the money, the 2.3 billion that's there, is to support essentially mainly your uninsured and your small enterprises. Because clearly those that are insured are taken care of by Sasria, but majority of some of those And I think Honorable Jacobs put it, gave an example of Slay Queen Saloon, which is not insured. I can imagine Slay Queen Saloon will be approached or will approach the department, one of the you know, DTIC or Small Business Development for support because they've got packages of support that you know that are being finalized and are ready to support those small businesses. So, but I think it's up to the Department of Small Business Development, and we'll encourage them to do that, and also DTIC, and we'll encourage them to do that in advertising and actually making communities and businesses aware, affected businesses aware of what is being, what's possible and what can be accessed and by how and how should it be accessed. So all we know is that money is made available, was made available, 2.3 billion. Now it's up to businesses to actually approach the two departments and request support in particular. And obviously one can imagine the criteria obviously is there and it's set and it's available. And that criteria will take care of some of the concerns that we raised in these meetings, which are around when documentation on all proof is being destroyed. What else then can they do? But I can imagine where, the colleagues in DTIC and Small Business Development will be are more than ready and available to assist. But all we're guaranteeing now was the money, 2.3 billion. We also guaranteed 3.9 billion for SASRIA in case they would need to exceed their threshold for them to support. But I take the challenge with all the humility from this meeting that we needed to do more. We needed to actually increase the size of the fund. 50 rands or 200 rands per annum, as Cedric said, may be too little. As we can actually even double the size of the business. But again, Cedric and the colleagues at SASRIA are well placed to actually make sure that they can come up with a bigger size or expand the business. But we will be pushing them where we see there's a shareholder department. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you. Thank you, DG. Honorable members, they still have to have a bite, bearing in mind that we are supposed to be done by 8 o'clock. Any follow-up question?
Yes, Honorable Chair.
The hand of Mr. Hendricks. I don't know what the previous one was, the second bite.
Okay. Mr. Hendricks?
It's a second bite, Honorable Chair. Thank you very much for the opportunity. Honorable Chair, I just want you to have the full picture. I want to hear whether a pavement dweller, a small business, can buy the SASRIA insurance without having the main insurance. It may be a condition that before you can take the SASRIA insurance, which is very cheap, you must have your own insurance. So I think you need to know that before you can respond. Because if that is not the case, it may change your response to assist various micro businesses, which I know is your passion. Secondly, I am very concerned that SASRIA has rushed to say that this unrest qualifies for them to pay out. Because if they don't have to pay, it means the main insurances will have to pay, and then the treasury and the funds that we have in SASRIA would not have been necessary to be expended. So while we appreciate the fact that SASRIA wanted to act quickly, you know, we were very careful that we mustn't let the insurance companies off the hook. There are hundreds of insurance companies that got billions of rands in the reserves. And I'm just worried, who is responsible to pay out? Is it the insurance companies or is it SASRIA? We heard from the presenter that there was a fine line. So, now the taxpayer has to give an extra 3 billion rand or more in reserve to bail it out. So those are the two issues, Honorable Chair, I want you to consider in your response, because maybe it wasn't necessary for SASRIA, it was necessary for the insurance companies to pay out, so now they're off the hook. And so that is a very fine line. So when we do the damage control and the post-mortem afterwards, I think that there needs to be a legal opinion on whether the claims should actually have been paid by the insurance companies, because, you know, the insurance companies must not be let off the hook. Sasria is for a special scenario, and there is doubt whether the unrest qualifies for Sasria assistance. They were just trying to be helpful. And lastly, I missed the Slay Queen, but I'm very happy that the Honorable Whoop has waved the flag for the Slay Queen. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Masondo. Can you respond to the DG?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. So the SMEs, if you want to buy Sasria, you don't need to have an underlying policy. So you can go to any insurance company. They will create what we call a dummy policy, which allows, I mean, the insurance companies to use Sasria policy. So the answer is, yeah, anyone can buy a policy without having an underlying policy. But the question, Chair, is the accessibility. So whilst the product is there, you can buy it. I think what we've realized that we need to go to those SMEs. And I think that's the challenge. We say, you know, if you're talking about financial literacy, you need to go to those people and show them that you need Sasria and make it easy for them to buy Sasria. So you need to know insurance to go to an insurance company and say, I don't want this, I only want. So I think that's a challenge. And what Dr. was saying, lessons that we've learned, that whilst we think we have a policy, the system allows you to buy Sasria if you don't have it. But if you don't know about Sasria, you will not know about what you need to do. So the second question from Mr. Andres, Honorable Andres, is about whether what we paid was a Sasria claim. And I think that was a question, even though we went on Monday, the following Monday, and confirmed this was Sasria claim, but we needed to go and get a legal opinion. So we needed the legal opinion for the board to make sure that we are paying, also for the company, but also for the reinsurers. The reinsurers, Sasria's reinsurance would not pay a claim if there's no valid claim and supported by legal opinion. So we've got a legal opinion which support the decision that was taken by management. So the reason why we went up front was because everyone was panicking and people were not sure whether this is Sasria claim. And based on our experience and knowing what is covered, we felt that it was necessary for us to bring calm to the market and whilst we're seeking legal opinion. But we've got a legal opinion. Otherwise, the reinsurers will never pay. Thank you.
You are cutting. I don't know why. What's wrong with your network? Hello? You disappeared on your last sentence.
Oh, sorry, Chair. So I was just mentioning that the reinsurers, they're going to pay about almost 7 billion in this claim. They will never agree to pay a claim without a proper legal opinion.
Okay. DG, do you have something to say to respond on what you said? Or if you are covered, it's fine.
No, I'm covered.
You're covered. Honorable members, I think we've come to the end of our meeting. Thanks for the sharing, most especially those points which has been outlined by the DG. I appreciate the issue of considering natural disasters, because stated that you alone, there have been a number of occasions where there have been floods in the entire country. And again, we really appreciate the issue of 30 days that is reporting, not claiming. So I appreciate that saying that you will have also capacity, although
they've got little human resources, but to be able to be marketable and to alert our society, I think you need to do something. But we really appreciate, as the portfolio committee, we are now alert. We now know what to touch, the DTIC as well as ourselves. From here, we'll know, because this mustn't just be an information, but we need to have a plan or program of action on how to monitor this intervention. But all in all, thanks to honorable members, your constructive ideas will assist this committee to grow. And thanks to the DG and SASRIA information. Yeah, this has been a wake-up call, as Mr. Hendricks has indicated. And the issue of SMEs to be assisted, I think we are interested in that one, since these are our babies. But we really appreciate the presentation. We'll digest and come up with some recommendations even during our debate as honorable members. Honorable members, thank you so much. I think we've come to the end of our meeting. The meeting stands adjourned.
Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you for raising the flag for the flag queen.
Thank you.
Recording stopped.
Good night.
Good night.
Daar was gewis een bizarheid met die naam.
Thank you, Key.
I think it was very profitable.
Hey.
Spo, are you still there?
That's who put me.
Oh, God, very blessing. Yes, care for you.
You're right,
Bakin,
good
morning. Go on.
To be able to ask.
Yeah, kula ku John that changa no skota ku shivulavula. It's tonga actually, it's not changa. It's tonga.
Oh, kota ku shivulavula.
Yeah, kota ku shivulavula. Yeah, are you around King?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm check access.
Self.
Yeah.
Self.
Boyile emabeni enatal.
Ah, I'm going to Conway.
Saturday. Yeah.
From the oversight, be Saturday. I'm going to spend a whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I want to be studying in KZN, then I'm going to start missing a tender one.
Yeah.
Just studying in KZN.
Hey, it's fine, man. Hey, it's better, man. I'm really out here, man. King.
My name works so man together and the best lab is so trail code after the night. Pull up my phone. Yeah. That is so trail code, yeah.
Hey, I want to tell me baby from John, my brother. You.
Yeah. I just call him SIT.
Yeah, okay.
Stop.
Che? Yes.
Go be productive, eh?
No, cool. So,
did I take you by surprise with the same way? No, I'm being classed. I'm going to platform. I'm going to YouTube.
writing it is as usual, eh? I was virtual. You need to be vigilant. But you know this information king is assisting. We need to alert our SMEs. But I'm happy CEDA and CIFA.
Those should be part of their law of their. They should they should be
the part of their package.
Their package. If ever this one is being assisted, like a person, if you are buying a car, we are born. If you are buying a car, it's a car, and then you have to take an insurance. So born now, the insurance would play equal. Now, to tell you the truth, probably the first time hearing this disaster from.
You know, there are a lot of things which we are not aware of. And our people do not have information. Imagine if Nalabani deal with technology, the information and in I. What about our poor people down there? So
let's play queen.
Next week we're going to Parliament on Thursday.
Yeah, I was following the programming committee. We are one day to go and elect the speaker.
Physically, sir.
Physically, so.
I will be there.
So, but then I'll consult to chair because there should be some changes. Will a program in Parliament, which will affect the programming committee.
John.
I don't know. They we are waiting for
the panel even.
Big will a program, yeah, man. So because now our September was not there. They wouldn't be a conference period month of September, then first week of October be waiting to send PRRR. So a new program, so get along on September, so we'll get a directive for focus areas now, Visa.
I'm just happy because we have been proactive going down there. It's a bonus to us. No one will criticize us.
Yes.
No, you did a great job, Che. Great job.
And it was tiresome, I'm telling you.
It's just that it was the very, very first oversight for us. So now they're blaming us, would you have made the program so tight?
And you sure Ilona is strenuous to corner King Lobago, who should have listened to the yabona angisho oversight sijwayelele yamabhodroom ukuthi siyohlangana nama stakeholders kuyakhulunywa kuquestioniwe kwezwana kwesuka kweprojectini kuyobhekiwa kwesuka manje le ene nalabantu bayakhala Nqobisa benginama 2 days bengifake ama high heel mina must fresh myself then 2 days bengifake ama push in the up pants. And loko bekungikhathaza the collective uma sesifika le iprogram seyashintsha manje se imbizo manje
injani
hey I have to manage it kulezinye indawo siyathukwa njani ngibona ama-election ngikhane nizosethawo manje le disaster le khona ungena kuphi ama-elections angena kuphi la but it's only in Daveyton where people were negative in all those areas people were